Especially if you get like those really funny kill scenes, you know, like in horror movies where it's always like those really dumb death scenes. It's always like something really stupid or something just look and it's like they get like they're sitting in like a bathroom stall and like just a knife goes through and just stabs them in the eyeball. It's
Yeah, or they're sitting on the bench, waiting for someone who's obviously very dangerous, and they don't
Yes.
look behind them
No.
the whole time and lets the person sneak up on them.
And just right there in the middle of the public
Ooh.
on the during the day.
Yeah, just like during the day in the public and things like that, where even the killer has to be like, it's pretty dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're explaining an exact scene in a movie I like that I made Daniel watch for late to the game.
You know it's a dumb death, and even the character had to say, "Well, that was dumb." Like,
I
as
was
long
like,
as the character says that's dumb, then it's believable and you have to go along
no.
with it. That's what we do on this podcast all the time. So on that note, welcome back to Not a Strong Startup podcast by filmmakers who talk movies, television, and it doesn't count if we say dumb things because we said it's intended to be dumb. I'm your host, Knock Knock, you're dead.
I am not your host. That's a strong start.
Yeah, it is.
And I'm also not your host. What do I say? I'm not your host. I'm the third wheel. Oh, begin with a bang. Your guys' third wheel. Oh.
Begin with the bang bang. Gotta do sound effects. Bang, bang,
Bang
bang,
bang.
bang.
Pew 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 pew
See, there you go. And all of a sudden, see that's how you sell the nickname that I had. Knock knock, you're dead. You guys are like, how is he gonna sell that one? Sound effects.
pew.
Knock knock,
Knock knock
you're
knock knock.
dead.
Why are you dead? Because pew pew pew.
Pew pew pew. And that's a strong start to this movie. In this case, podcast. So, in case if you can't tell, we're going to be talking about some of the best openings that we've seen in horror movies. Why? Because we love horror movies and we're trying to find different ways that we could talk about them. But first, we're going to hit you with a current event.
There is a Halloween TV show that is in the works and coming. So, of course, over time, little bits of info are going to trickle around. And the latest thing that supposedly is that it's kind of another reboot that is happening. So the series is kind of going to bring it back to the beginning and supposedly just kind of acknowledge the first one occurred and kind of go from there. So that's kind of supposedly what the thought process is for the series. So, Marie, we'll start with you with the subject matter expert. What is your thoughts on yet another reboot of the Halloween series?
I'm over it. I'm like way over it. And Halloween, the David Gordon Green franchise little thing just killed it for me.
Greatest of all time.
I'll kill you. Knock knock, you're dead. Pew, pew. So I'm not a, I don't know. I mean, will I watch a little bit of it? Probably.
You know
I
you
really
are. You know you're gonna watch it.
if it
Not
does it justice,
enthusiastically.
which well, not enthusiastically, with full fear, I don't know how they're gonna be able to do it justice. I don't know how they're gonna build off of the original and keep it like in the right theme or to keep it with the right feel or anything like that. I don't know. But I mean, I'm gonna have to watch it and then we can talk about it and we can poop
Hit
all
or
over
quit
it probably, but
it. I poop in your general direction.
what about you, Dad?
I will give it a shot. I will give it a shot. I am not enthusiastic about it because I haven't seen a good Michael Myers movie in a while. Like it's been a while. So I don't have high hopes. I don't know much about it. I don't know who's behind it. I don't know who's running it much. So maybe it's better that way. I don't know. I know they're doing the Camp Crystal Lake show too. So like maybe. You know what? I mean, Jose, you and I are still hanging on for like Freddy. Are we
It's
ever going to get anything like at
no,
all? Like, we're never going to get it, man.
we're not. And with Robert Englund pretty much verbally retiring from the role,
Then
I don't know if I want to see it.
just CGI us. Give us some AI,
Yeah,
Robert Englund.
but
No, regarding.
don't you dare say that.
I'm saying horrific things all over this episode.
Good.
So go off for that. You know, basically, if we had to follow like a list of questions and responses when it comes to am I gonna check this one out, is it horror? Yes. Okay, I will continue from there. That's it. That's all it takes for me to at least
All it
like give it
takes.
a try. But I don't know. I feel like Michael Myers has more reboots than like comic books. It's like, he has more timelines than everything I've ever like seen. So it's a little hard to keep up with at this point in time. But I'm willing to give it a try. If they can improve, you can't get worse than the last one that we got. I'll tell you that much. Don't take that as a
Right.
challenge. Do not take that
I was
as a
gonna say,
challenge.
they might try to say, hold my beer on that one. They could. So, is it safe to say that there's more Michael Myers than there are Spider-Man into the Spider-Verse? Hey, Marie knows that reference now.
Yeah,
thank God.
maybe we'll get a collaboration of all the different Michael Myers from all the timelines.
Collaborate
All
in the
pointing at each
same,
other, like.
but with like a knife.
Yeah. See, this is the thing though. If they were making a series that was more like a reboot, like what Rob Zombie did or something like that, I'd be more on board than if it is taking place after the original one. Because I'm just like, leave the precious originals to themselves. If you want to do a reboot, though, it's enough time has passed. Do it, fine. I'd see a reimagining. I'd be more on board with that than a direct continuation from the original one, because clearly people can't get that right so far. So I'd be more on board with that.
Because we've already done that multiple times where it's like the original exists. Now let's continue on from that, right? So we will see. Well, staying on the horror theme, in this episode, we're going to be talking about, like Dan said, some of our favorite horror opening scenes. They might not always be the best movies. Maybe they are, maybe they're not. But that opening scene just hooks you right from the beginning and nails it. So we wanted to talk about some of our favorite ones here.
Yes, I did want to ask you guys this, okay? So as we dig into these, and talk about why it's so important and whatnot, but like, what do you think the fascination is with horror movies and opening scenes, right? Because it's like we have dramas, right? You've seen dramas, you've seen psycho thrillers, we've seen comedies even. Comedies is kind of like horror where like they really have to like land. You really have to like stick the landing on that opening scene, but horror movies are really synonymous with those opening scenes, those opening death kills is like everything. Why do you guys think that is? Why do you think it's so harmonious?
I mean, it sets the tone. That's the table setter there. That's your appetizer. You go in there, you go to a restaurant, you get the appetizer, and the appetizer's crappy. What are you going to expect for the rest of the meal? So that's what it, that's going to tell you, first of all, what type of scares is this movie going to do? What How far, I mean, it might not be as far as they're gonna go in the movie, but kind of like, okay, is this movie gonna stretch some limits? Is this a very violent and gory intro? What's the body count in this intro? Was there tension in this? Or did they rely heavily on jump scares right in the opening scene? Because you see that in the opening scene, what do you think you're gonna get the rest of the movie? And that's not 100% that, but that's your first impression. And right away from the start, you can kind of tell, all right, what is the directorial direction of this, and what's going to be the quality of what you're going to get?
Right.
I mean, think about when you meet people for the first time, and that first impression is a little bit like, oh, this freaks me out a little bit. I'm a little bit intrigued. It's mysterious. It's the same thing with movies, with horror. That's what you get. It could be like a really intense, there's more. Horror movies leave more of an opening for like a really like intense, impactful setting, like the tone of like what kind of horror it is. Is it like paranormal? Is it going to be a slasher? Is it going to be jump scary? Like you say, there's like all the different avenues that horror can take. And so that opening scene sets the tone, like Jose said, to be like, well, what kind of horror is it going to be? What am I in for? How dark is it going to be? How disturbing is it going to be? Is it going to be light? You don't know. So like horror, there's like such a vast like variety of horror movies. If it's like a, oh, I'm watching a movie about it's a drama and there's a sick mother or something, and there's an opening scene of like, oh, the mother's sick. You're like, oh, okay, yeah, what's gonna happen? How'd she get sick? But like horror, it could be like so many different, like intense, gripping cliffhanger scenes right from the get-go, and you're like, oh, what am I in for? It's like a roller coaster ride. You're like, oh, what am I in for? It's exciting.
And here's the great thing, right? Because like with dramas, you can't blow your load right from the very beginning. Like you have to set up the waterworks, right?
There's gotta be the foreplay's gotta be there
You got to get a
first. You got
foreplay before you get a nipple flash, okay? Like you can't just sit there and whip it out all willy-nilly here, okay? But the great thing about horror movies, oh no, You're getting all the willy and you're getting the nilly. Like everything's being exposed. We're going to give you the full blast right out the gate because I see horror movies sort of like how when you watch a television show, right? And you see something that's like action paced or something that's like the show Lost. The pilot, you spend so much time on the pilot, and that's how we know. If I watch a pilot and the pilot sucks, I'm not going back to watch the show again because the pilot is what you've spent years on as a writer to perfect the pilot before you're greenlit to write other more of the episodes, right? Before you have to kind of streamline it and the executives get involved. The pilot is like everything, is where the truest form of what the writer had in mind. When it comes to horror movies, that's like the writer again, or the director. It's like, this is where you're going to give us your best. You're going to give us like a really cool kill right out the gate. So there's something powerful about that. Like, not only does it set the tone, but it's like you get to come in here and you get to just give us like your best, like right out the gate. And it's so important. Like, you have to land that, right? Like, I'm sure that you guys have many examples of movies that I've watched that first kill. And it's like, this movie's gonna be awesome. And I start to watch it, it's like, this movie sucks. But damn, that first opening scene was awesome. They get us.
And I will say this, it is not 100%. I've seen movies where that opening scene is out, yes, and then that's where it peaks. And so, and then I've seen movies that were maybe not the best opening scene, but they found their way. So it's not 100% proof, but the majority of the time, nail the opening, you're probably nailing the rest of it.
Exactly. And we like them nailing it. So on that
Nail
note,
the opening.
yes. Are you guys ready to get into some of our favorite openings?
Let's do
Yeah.
it. And
Okay.
we know Marie requested to go first on this one because she was
Yep.
thinking we were going to steal her stuff. So, Marie, go ahead.
Women's
What
Day.
is
It's
your
Women's Day,
first?
ladies.
Oh, you stop it with that.
Yeah. I
Put
mean,
milk in it.
not when this airs, but
Yeah.
still.
Just today, ladies first. Just today, let me milk it as much as I can.
Milked.
Okay, well, the thing is
Well,
about
my
women's
first movie
scenes.
is.
Still, pew, pew. A couple of the opening scenes that I love so much. I love music a lot. Okay, if you had to give me a choice out of mu like movies, video games, or music, what can I have? Only one for the rest of my life is music. So, a couple of the movies I have, it's because the opening credits are so good. So I had to pick like that. The opening scene's good, but then the opening credits that follow, I'm just like, get me hype. Okay, I of course wanted to start with the Evil Dead remake, but I'm not going to because I talk about that too much. But that opening scene is great, and I love that opening scene. So that's not what I have here. Okay, my number one most favorite opening scene ever, including the credits. When you first asked me to be on this episode, I was like, this is it. The Dawn of the Dead remake.
That's
The
everybody's
Dawn.
favorite.
That is one of mine.
That's mine too, obviously. That's everybody's favorite.
We're
It's probably
retracting. She's not going
got to
first.
be the best. It's got to be the best, I think.
Okay, so I watched this movie like last weekend, and the opening, I remember watching in the theater too, and the opening credits get you so hooked and so pumped. And I'm talking about like the opening scenes are great, like with the overhead view of the neighborhood and like the catastrophe and all around and the car crash and to like the gas pump and the explosion and the bus, the back of the bus scene. And Sarah Paully is just like a badass. Like, I don't know why she's not listed in like a final girl list. Sarah Paully in Dawn of the Dead remake is like an ultimate final girl. She's amazing. Anyway, that's a side note. So everything from the song in the opening credits and the blood splatter font and like the real, I love that they took real footage of like actual human disasters interspersed with like random zombie images and like the sounds and the footage of like press conferences and like news reports and like it gets more and more intense. So it's like it's showing the horror of humanity throughout the years and has that quote like when there's no more room in hell the dead will walk the earth, right? So the opening credit scene goes back and forth between the zombies and like humanity being terrible, like this is how you are, these are the things that you've done, and this is why this is happening now. The zombie apocalypse is happening now because it's your fault and you are monsters now as zombies because you've always been monsters. And like this is just from the opening credits. This is what the opening credit says without any words, just the imagery. And then don't even get me started on the song choice, Johnny Cash, The Man Comes Around. That song, first of all, It's like about the rapture, the second coming of Christ, whatever, the apocalypse, being judged at the end of days, like perfect. And it has actual like biblical verses in the song, which I just thought was beautiful. But the thing about that song is it sounds kind of like lighthearted, but it has like such a dark message behind it. And I feel like that's like the movie. It's setting the tone for the movie. Because the movie, you think about zombie apocalypse, like it's super sad and depressing and horrific, but it's also like a funny, comedic, lighthearted zombie movie. So I just felt like it was like the perfect song choice, perfect opening credits. It gets you hooked right from the very start, sets the tone, and it makes me cry every time. Gives me chills, and I cry because I think it's so beautiful. It's perfect. It's masterpiece art. That beginning is art. The rest of the movie is great too. I went off.
that is actually one of the ones that I had on my list also. They said the credits themselves, you mentioned the blood spatter, Johnny Cash playing, it all just hits very well with the scenery that they're showing you. And then even just like before that, what makes this so good is that the stakes are established within the first like 3 minutes in there, and it opens up so quick. Like, you've got people sleeping. Like, just think, when you're sleeping, you wake up in the morning, you're all half asleep, you're groggy, haven't had your coffee yet, and before you can even do anything, there's like your kid and your husband trying to eat you, and you're like running for your life. This is within the first few minutes of this movie, and then it slowly starts to escalate as she escapes. And you just see nothing but chaos, and it gets bigger and bigger from the aerial shot, the cars crashing, people running. You almost, you have to watch it multiple times to catch the stuff that's happening in the background. And
Beautiful.
I always enjoy that when directors and stuff include things that are not right there in your face and acknowledged, where you have to kind of catch it on your own. Because that kind of adds the replayability, and this intro does that, where I'll watch it again and I'm like, oh wait, I didn't see this person going after this person over there in the corner, or this happening over there, and this delivers it all. So by the time the credits are done, you know exactly what the tone is, the stakes that are up in this movie, and where you're gonna go for the rest of the movie. So that's a great choice, I think.
Yeah, you can't have a opening top three list and not include this one. I think this one is like easily the top. This proves Zack Snyder, in my opinion, is one of the greatest visual directors that's working right now. Say what you will about his story writing, say what you will about all that other stuff, that's fine. From a visual standpoint, the man could direct his ass off. Like, very clearly you could see this dude came from like music videos and stuff like that. From like a visual element, even when you have her going into the bathroom and you get that overhead shot inside the bathtub is amazing. The thing that I love the most about all this, though, is the. So, this is the Dawn of the Dead remake, right? Where did this originate from? George Romero, right? So, from what we see from the master of zombies, was the slow moving, the slow pacing zombies that we saw. When you open up the scene, it's the slow zoom ins that we see that he pushes into. So, he does a slow push in zooms that we see. It's building up the safe environment, he's building up a calming presence. Even when the door slowly cracks open and you see the neighbor kid with like the face, it's slow. She's slowly moving. She's not moving fast. And then when she bites the husband's neck and you get the amazing prosthetic makeup of the neck tear, then as soon as he turns, all of a sudden he's fast moving. Now it tells you that it's sort of like, in my opinion, like a baton passing. Where you see that it immediately tells you the difference of his version of the zombies versus the George Romero version of the zombies. I think that little opening scene right there is the most amazing thing out of that whole opening scene. Of course, I love it when you see the school bus and you see the one just attacking and attacking to people and you see her going back. And then when you think she's out of the woods, she literally crashes into a tree and that's when we hit it with the Johnny Cash. But it's that peacefulness that you expect from a George Romero zombie movie, and then all of a sudden we get the 28 days later version of the zombies. I think that passing and that transition was so freaking brilliant, and that's why Zack Snyder is the man. No matter what he does in the future, this he made the greatest, like damn near the greatest zombie movie I've ever seen, and like greatest zombie movie I've ever seen. Yeah, absolutely. And Dawn of the Dead is so freaking great. That's and then there's still great, amazing. The rest of the movie's amazing, But this opening sequence is so beautiful and it's so perfect about what we want that he caters to us, the people that cheer loudly when I see the most gruesome deaths on screen. Like, yes, let me see it. It's the prosthetic makeups and like, hell yes.
This is the Zack Snyder and James Gunn team up, where you get Zack Snyder's visuals and stuff with James Gunn's writing
and dialogue, and characters, and
ensemble writing, which is what is James Gunn's.
Bill Dunphy, man. Bill Dunphy was
in this. I can't. The thing about this movie, too, is like the end scene and the end credits are amazing in this movie. And this movie, like, and the opening scene and the opening credits and the end scene, the end credits. And like, when you hear, like, we see all the zombies running out and then the freaking Disturb starts too. And it's like, it's all found footage at the end. They have their camera and they're looking. Oh, it's like that movie has a perfect bookends. It's just, it's a perfect movie. I'm like getting emotional, man. I love that movie so much. I can't.
All right. So that was a good choice. We've all had that one on our list. So for my next one that I had here, I had Midsommar. That opening area, it was just so tragic, and the way it was visually portrayed, you know, you had that scene. It was just the lack of dialogue and environmental sound as you discover the crime scene with the firefighters. You're kind of following along as they're discovering everything and kind of seeing what happened as they are finding out what happened. And I think, and you got like the violins playing in the background, that's all like you can hear. But what really made that scene was Florence's cry in that scene is one of the most realistic and heart-wrenching cries that I've heard in a movie. Like, you could hear like her voice, her throat, and her breath just giving out, that she's like crying. That's like, it was hurting her.
Exhausted cry.
Yeah.
And stuff. Yeah. Like, you can hear the tremble, and like, you, like, I mean, listening to her, I'm like, someone get her a cough drop. Like, her throat's getting destroyed right now from the screaming and the crying. And it was so realistic when it comes to it. I don't know what the director is, you know, whispering to these actors, because with Hereditary, he has such an amazing like cry and scream, and then in this one we have this amazing cry and scream.
Dude, so, it can't like, be him, man. It's Florence Pugh, and we're talking Toni Collette. Amazing, brilliant actresses.
Two are like the best, just pure like heart wrenching, stab you in the heart like type cries in there, and it was like, man, so that's what makes it. It's the what makes this a great opening scene is the visuals, the way it's portrayed. You don't have dialogue interfering with it, and the only time you really hear a voice is just pure tortured cry. So it's like, by the time the opening scene is done, you already know where this character is at. Like, you don't need to find out anything else. You know this character is in a deep pit of despair. And that sets you up for their journey for the rest of the movie. That's why I had to choose this one.
I love that movie, man. I think that's when I saw Florence Pugh. That was the second time I think I've seen her in a movie. You know, she's so good. And, like, that proved in that movie why she's one of the best young actresses working right now, like, easily. You know, she's definitely on her way to winning an Oscar, man. And that movie, I think, is so underrated. I know some people watch it like, I don't get it. Like, that movie's amazing. Like, it's a great acting performance from her. It's not your typical horror movie, right? Like, it's more of like a psychotic relationship kind of horrific movie. I thought it was amazing. That's where I said Ari Aster is that guy. Like, he's him. Like, he's amazing because he knows how to get out
again.
He did it again. He knows how to get out of the actor's way. So I don't think it's necessarily something that he's whispering. I think he writes very compelling characters, but he casts the perfect actors that just understands it. Because I've seen Toni Collette give that type of performance in other movies, and I've seen Florence Pugh give that type of level of performance in other movies. So he just casts really good actors, man. Like, and he writes very compelling characters, very compelling and realistic movies and characters and scenes and like all that. And Hell of a way to start that movie. So I had to dip back into a zombie movie, okay? So this is one that I saw that I just had a lot of fun with the
This is gonna
opening.
be mine, isn't it?
Is it Zombieland? Was it?
Oh no, it's not.
No?
Okay.
Okay. I went with Zombieland on this one. I thought it was so clever and original how they tied in, because it's like it's showing us the rules of how to survive zombie, type apocalypses and stuff. And the way that they did the movie fonts was really cool, how they tied it into like the movie scenes and stuff. And of course they backtrack it with Metallica playing. Like, hell yes. When I'm listening to it, I'm like, come on, man. Like, hell yeah, I'm screaming at the screen as you're seeing the prosthetic makeup and the ripping of the flesh and all that. But then it's even the dark comedy that I love. They even have Mike White, that's sitting there taking a poop on a toilet and gets eaten alive by a zombie. And then you see a woman that's driving like through like a kid's like Disney princess party, and you see a bunch of little girls like Disney princess gowns grabbing onto the car. She's dragging them on and she's barely able to escape, and you see the Disney princess just swirling, and then she hits a car and then she flies out, and then like the Beanie Babies are flying in the air with her in slow-mo, and the thing says rule number nine, wear seat belts. And it's like, oh man. And you got Jesse Eisenberg's like sarcastic wit as he's seeing overlay of the, of the whole action that you're seeing. But that movie is so clever, man. It reminds me of like Shaun of the Dead, but then they have a lot of the goreness of the Dawn of the Dead. And that's why I thought it was such a unique and clever way of approaching the zombie world, because we've seen it done so many times, but we've seen a lot of unique spins on it. And Zombieland was such a unique spin on it. And the movie itself is great. I mean, they have an all-star cast that's on it, but damn, that opening scene was great.
That is the definition of a tone setter. You watch that opening scene and you're perfectly set up for what the tone and what the rest of the movie is going to be. You
Yeah,
know,
that's true.
it's not something where you get that and then it switches it up on you. You said that you're prepped already. That's like the training manual for the rest of the movie. Now you're ready to go. That was your onboarding. And you're good for the rest of the movie.
I don't know what it is about zombie movies, man, but like they nail
Oh,
freaking
I mean,
opening.
okay. The next one I'm gonna go with is The Descent,
Oh,
and
yes.
yeah, that opening for so many reasons. It starts off. I love how like there's like a couple little credits that come up, and there's like a light. It's like a headlamp. Like when you're if you're spelunking, and there's like this lens flare, and then you see the friends and they're doing like white water rapid
Rapid.
rafting. What? Yeah,
White water
rapid.
rafting.
They're
White water raft.
they're doing
That
their
thing.
thing. So right from the beginning, it sets the tone of like who the women are and like their personalities are like, and it kind of it's so happy and it's like they're so fearless and like lulls you into this like false sense of security where you're like, oh, this is fun. Like these girls know how to live. Like they're awesome. And they give you that little subtle hint of the friend and the one and the husband of the other woman having an affair just by a couple glances you can tell, and it's just like so perfect. It's like a little goes a long way. They didn't need to like over say anything. It's just a couple little looks people give, and I'm like, oh, they're boning, like they're having an affair. They didn't need to say much. So and then you get the scene when they're in the car and that car crash scene where the daughter gets, it's so shocking. I remember when I first watched it, I was like, what? And like right from the get-go, if they off a child in like the first 2 minutes of a movie, you're right away, you're like, okay, this movie's gonna be dark. This movie is gonna push the envelope a little bit. This movie's gonna go there and it's gonna have some emotional depth in it. There's
Nothing
gonna
is
be
off
like all that.
limits. Nothing is off limits if you
That
kill a child.
exactly. So right there, you're like, oh crap, what the hell? What am I in for? And then you get the scene where she wakes up in the hospital. And this scene just like haunts me because she gets up and she's in the hallway and then the lights start going dark behind her. And it has like a paranormal feel. And you hear that noise of like the creatures from the cave. And then she's running away and she's, and it's keeps going dark behind her. And it's just like kind of like a metaphor for like the fact that she's never going to be able to outrun this. That she's never going to be able to escape like this dark thing that happened to her. Like this darkness that is going to like engulf her. She can't escape it. And then she runs into her friend and collapses to the ground. And this is such a realistic cry too. And like I watched it today because I wanted to rewatch it because I was like torn between a couple movies. But when she crashes into her friend and falls to the ground, and the camera does this like pan around, like circles them. I started crying again, man. I was like, you can feel that pain. It's so impactful. It's so emotional. It's like scary and it's painful and it's deep and it's dark and it's like true horror. For right from the beginning, it's like I'm horrified because of everything you just showed me for multiple reasons. And I know this movie is gonna have a lot going on. It's gonna be emotional stuff with like the friend. Is she gonna find out? Is she gonna find out that her friend's having the affair? They're gonna have this like inner conflict with the outer conflict that's surrounding them in the cave. Like, it's just crazy. It's such a layered movie, and they set it up right in the beginning, and they grip you right in the beginning. I loved it. Perfect.
Yeah, that was
Yeah.
so good.
Like, what did you
I
think?
remember watching that for the first time and just being like relaxed and chill because I'm just starting to see the
Yeah.
movie. And then that part happens, and I was like, whoa, okay, you've got my attention now. Let's go. I'm trapped in.
Yeah.
First, you had my interest. Now you got my attention.
I
have 28 weeks later on that.
Oh,
And
yeah.
it was just such a contrast in that opening scene. In an escalation. So you see this family, this fully barricaded and covered house, and it's so, quiet. There isn't no light coming in from the outside. Everyone, is okay. They're safe in this space. Then they decide to let this little boy in. And then that ends up being the wrong thing because it leads to them being attacked by the zombies, and it just goes from 0 to 100 like in an instant. It goes from quiet, calm to girls getting, a piece torn out of her in there, and then the rest of it is just it's just pure like erratic chaos. After that, you see this family like dismantled like one by one, and the person who used think is the hero because you see him kind of helping at the beginning, right away goes from like hero to like a complete coward, abandoning his wife and that kid in there in like self-preservation. So on top of the contrast and the jump from the calmness to the chaos, we see this guy go from heroic trying to save to completely tucking his tail between his legs and abandoning his wife and just running out. And then at that point, you get the music playing. You get that 28 music playing, and
Yeah.
you see him running full speed towards the boat, and then you just see the drones of zombies running down the hill, and you're like, this guy is screwed. And you see the wife in the window, like, help me, and all that stuff. And he's just like, I gotta go. And gets to the boat. The guy from the boat, he sacrifices him too, and yet this guy ends up escaping. But like that whole scene right from the start, that could have been his own like mini like short film in that aspect. But it just say it sets up the chaotic aspect of the world and the rest of the movie and what type of character this is right within the first few minutes.
Yeah, I wanted to. I thought about going 28 weeks later because of what you said, but I just wanted to do, I went with Zombieland instead. But it's something about zombie movies, and maybe it makes it a little easy just because you have like the fear of just an over, like that's the fear of zombies. It's when I would see the George Romero versions of it, and you see like the slow moving ones, it almost felt like it follows. Like, okay, you can just walk a little faster, right? It's so sort of like Jason, just run. Just run away from them. Like, you're gonna out chase them. They're not gonna get in a car and drive after you, except if it's Michael Myers
Yeah.
or
Although
Jason
those
Todd.
zombies were smarter because they were able to actually pick up things, use doorknobs, things like
That's what.
that.
Yeah, no, they
That's
were.
true.
That's true. Yeah, but it's the fear of the thing about the zombies that there's an overwhelming swarm of them, and when they get you, because eventually you're gonna stop running. And they're going to catch up to you. But when you get the 28 days later one and you get the fast moving one, that's scary as hell. Like, that is scarier than any of the slasher villains that we've seen, because they don't stop. Like, they just don't stop. They're faster than you. Like, that's so scary. And they will rip and eat your face off. I
And
like
I
my
know my
face. I don't want to lose
cardio
my
is not
face.
up to par. Well,
No.
my cardio is not up to par there. You know, I'll give you a
Yeah.
little bit of a run, but then at that point, it's like, oh, it is what it is.
Remember, like, have you seen like the Predator meme where they see you and they're like, oh, on the sides is your whole body breaking down? It's like that. It's like a
Yeah.
Ben Gay commercial.
It's like,
I'm
Jesus, take the wheel. I'm done.
done, Lord, take me. Yeah. No, that's a great movie, man. I'm excited for the third one, man. I'm excited for that
Me
third one
too.
because I think they created such a perfect world with it. It was my introduction to Cillian Murphy, you know, with 28 Days
Me
Later.
too.
Like, he was so good in that movie. Like, I freaking love that movie. 28 Weeks Later was a great sequel. I can't wait to watch 28 Years Later, man. I'm excited.
Me too. I'm excited for
Yeah.
that one. 28 weeks later, that helicopter propeller scene. Oh, I love that scene. It's so good. I think the thing about zombie movies too, and like why the opening scenes are always so good, is because zombie movies, it's I think that's like the scariest concept, is like the world is over at that point, right? And you know the world is over and it'll never be the same. You don't know what's going on all over different parts of the world. The world whole everything's shut down. Like there's no government
Exactly.
anymore. There's no and if there is government, they're all for themselves. Like it's just the zombie apocalypse idea is like the most horrific thing. So when there's opening scenes of it, you're like, oh man, we're in for it. Like this
And
is gonna be terrible.
the fact that they could turn you, and it's like your own people that's trying to bite your face off. You know what I mean?
I
Like,
know.
no, mom, no. As you're trying to rip and gouge my eyeballs out. Like, come
Yeah.
on. Like, I don't want to see my mom rip my face off. Again, I like my face. Don't kill me.
Start with the eyes so I don't see.
Exactly. Yeah, there
Yeah.
you go. All right. And then, so I had to go with such a typical cliche one, but like, I had to. Like, I have to, because when we're talking about greatest horror openings, we're gonna get blasted in the comments if I don't mention this one. I had to mention Scream. I have to mention the movie Scream because it just epitomized the classic horror genre and the classic horror openings of what we have, where you have, like, you know, the big opening, you know, the opening girl, where you cast like the big A-lister like Drew Barrymore, and then you kill him in a very gruesome fashion. But what's so great about Scream is that they hit everything on the head. But they even go so meta about it. So even the conversation that the guy's saying, he's mentioning the Freddy Kruegers and the Jasons. So, like, we already know that we live in a world where slasher movies exist. Whereas in normal slasher movies, they don't talk about these type of movies. So we don't know that they typically exist in these type of worlds. But in this one, they did. So Scream became so iconic with that opening sequence. And even when you see the gruesome death of Drew Barrymore at the end, it's so like, oh man, that's so gross. But even them talking about the horror element, like us as horror fans, like Wes Craven knew what he was doing. He knew who he's catering to. He's catering to us. And they're having conversations exactly how we would have. So it wasn't anything super original, but it was original how they went meta with it. But he didn't go super original necessarily, like in the shots and everything, but he played into the stuff that we grew up watching in the 80s, but he brought it back in the 90s and made it hip again. And that's what was so freaking rad about it.
Yeah, that will always live on as one of the best openings in the movie at that time, because Scream was one of those movies that revitalized horror for a little bit because horror was in the lull.
Especially slasher ones too.
Exactly. And that was his second attempt of kind of going meta, and the first time people weren't ready when there was New Nightmare. And this time people were ready. He timed it perfectly where people were ready for that in there. And it was parodied, it was memed, it was used. To this day, people know, what's your favorite scary movie? They know what that's from
Dude,
in
scary
there. So
movie, like
it
it spawned like a seven movie franchise, whatever
became
freaking many they
a
made.
yeah.
Like, damn.
No, I just agree with everything I said. It's like perfect. It's a perfect opening. Perfect. And like the fact that they were like Drew Barrymore, Drew Barrymore, and then they like offer and like she's the one who goes at first. I remember people like, what? Whoa! Like
Whoa.
she's not. She's not in it. No, yeah. Okay.
You
Okay.
see a collective whoa in the movie theaters, just everybody
Yeah.
doing that at once, toes pointed up in the air. Whoa.
What? It was okay. My next one. Okay, this no one is gonna think of this movie ever. I mean, is it a great movie? No, but
I
ever
got
since
it.
I was like,
Yeah, I got it too.
it's Stigmata.
Oh, Stigmata. I know the Stigmata.
Okay.
Okay, so the beginning scene before the credits start is kind of like Exorcist-esque, and it has like the same kind of like warm climate. I mean, it's in Brazil. It's not in like the is it actually just like the Middle East or something, right? Anyway, and it's like this brown and yellow tones, and like there's like statue imagery and like stone architecture, and there's this priest like roaming around ominously, and like it's just like The Exorcist. It feels very Exorcist-y. And then when he's in the church, it's really creepy. There's like bleeding like eyes of Mary, and like there's like it's kind of paranormalish, and you don't know if it's like bad or good because it's about a priest passing away, but then you're like it feels demonic. So at the beginning you're like, well, what is this about? Like, is it demonic? Is he a bad priest or is he a good priest? You don't know. So they kind of leave that question up. And their score in the beginning is really good, and Billy Corgan from the Smashing Pumpkins did the score for that movie, which I loved because I'm just like, you know, 90s music nerd. But anyway, but the credits really gets me. I love the opening credits. They're like these quick and blurry, like radiating image shots, like very quick shots. And there's like biblical art of like Jesus and Mary and like some demonic stuff and like blood and like the crucifixion, like interspersed with like the main character and her living like her nightlife, right? And like drinking and dancing and drugs and partying at the bar and fornicating and sitting, you know? So it's like you get all these like religious,
Coitus?
all this like, all this like religious stuff mixed with all this bad stuff. You see like the heaven and hell and the sinning and the saintliness like all together at once. But the song, I love. Everyone, when they think of Chumbawamba, they probably think of like tub thumping, like I get
Course.
knocked down, but I get
Wait,
up again.
they had other
But no.
songs?
Yes! This one.
I'm just kidding.
This one song that I love,
The one I was on
and the
there.
song, yeah, it's called Mary Mary, and it starts with the Hail Mary prayer in the song, and there's like dar, 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 this like guitar, like heavy guitar in it, and it's kind of like a techno-y rock song, the trumpets, and she's all talking about like essentially about the purity or lack thereof of women is like the lyrics. But also kind of like about female liberation. It's kind of funny how it's like female liberation led to like being like, you know, lack thereof purity. But anyway, it suits the movie and it suits like the character. So I love the opening. I love the whole opening scene, but mostly the opening credits for Stigmata. I just love it. It's like a little music video,
And
which
what's
I
your
love.
opinion about the rest of the movie?
It's not great. Like it didn't age well. But I did love it enough when I was younger to buy it on DVD, and which I still have. I
I
also
have
was
it
like
on
a little
DVD.
like, yeah, I was like a little Christian girl for a bit too, so kind of felt blasphemous to have it. But I
You're
was
like,
like,
rebel! Yeah.
yeah, I was like, yeah, Mary, Mary, this. So, pew,
Want to do honorary mentions, Jose?
pew. So one that I had in here that I wanted to mention is The Empty Man.
Sounds pretty empty, though.
It empty but filling at the same time.
Oh, I like that.
No, The Empty Man. The opening scene for The Empty Man could have been its own short film. That's how it is. Like, yeah, it was just it's so ominous, and the score they chose when you're like seeing like the cave and the shrine in there just like adds to like the atmosphere, and it just gives you this sense like the characters that you see are the ones that you're going to be following for the movie. So when that opening scene ends, it just makes it more impactful and just unexpected what happens. So it's like the whole time with everything, you feel something's coming, but you don't know what and to what degree. And it just slowly builds on it. And then when it happens, you're like, oh crap, all right, did not expect that to go that way. So it really sets up the rest of the movie. The movie itself, it's got some good moments. It's not amazing, but that opening scene is so good.
I'm gonna go with a very great iconic one, right? So I'm not gonna give it away right away because it's way too e easy. But yet a very yet one of the most iconic music produced ever in entire cinematic history. And you have a woman that's so vulnerable, that's in a state of vulnerability, and you have a creature, a monster that just goes and preys upon her. And without ever the audience that's going and seeing the monster, the creature, you build up the sense from the point of view of the monster as it goes and it devours her. But it's the sense of the calming of very calm, and it feels like you're there in a nice environment. But then the music comes in, and it's the music that just completely captivates you.
No, I saw a
That's a
movie like
monster.
that on Skinamax.
Hey, so we've seen it together. No. So this movie that I'm
You
talking about, of
would.
course, pretty close, but it's called Jaws. Not that type of Jaws. Not that Jaws, so say the other Jaws. But I had to go with of course, Steven Spielberg. So the famous story behind that, of course, is that the animatronic kept malfunctioning. So for most of the movie, he couldn't show it. So for the whole first half of the movie, you'll actually see the monster, and that ended up creating a new type of genre that they did, or at least new techniques of the monster, where you don't actually see it, but you build up the tension and do all that. So because of that, one of the greatest opening sequences we ever got, because it malfunctioned.
The
See,
little
sometimes happy
happy
accidents, right?
mistakes.
Happy accidents, you know?
Yes, I will not make another joke like
I
that. Yes, happy accidents.
might have this might be like
Skidamax.
happy ending, something. Yeah.
25% of the population. Happy accidents.
I think it's more than 25% of that. We're being, yeah.
Probably.
Only 25% actually admit it.
My honorable mention is Ghost Ship.
Good. I'm glad you mentioned that. That was going to be my other
Yeah.
honorable mention.
I love the whole font. The font popping up. I like the song. I love the era it's in. Like, I'm a sucker for all like that. And then like I like how the song and like the singer is in a different language, not English, because it would have been really cheesy if she was singing English lyrics. I don't know why, but it would. And it,
It
again,
would.
you get that false sense of security, and you're like, "Ooh, this is romantic. This is nice. This looks beautiful." And
But
then,
then,
oof, that. But then I see that wire tightening, and you're like, "Oh God, oh, what's gonna happen?" And then like, whooshing, and then everyone just still standing there, and like the little girl's like scared enough, and then everyone starts sliding off, and it's so good, it's so gory. It's not the best,
fantastic. Love
it's
it.
not the best like graphics because it's like 20 years old, 20 whatever years old, but it's impactful and it's
Great
cool
idea.
as hell. Like it's just a cool
I
opening.
loved it.
It is.
Jose.
Watch the opening and then.
That's
Stop the
it.
movie and
And then
don't
stop
watch
it
the
right
rest
after
of it.
that. Don't watch it
Yeah.
again. Yeah, that's it. Just stop it there. Jose, you know what movie I like bag on that I say was really not that good at all, but actually had a pretty decent opening was the movie Smile. The opening was pretty decent. That was
It
like I
was.
think it I feel like it was a pretty nice, it wasn't too overboard. It was kind of like helping build a little bit of, psychotic horror a little bit, and you kind of take a weird elements and it kind of intrigues you to keep watching. But you shouldn't, Marie. You should stop it right there, put it away, and then go do something else. Go take Jesus
Oh,
steps.
I didn't like that. I will take Jesus steps all day. I will, yeah. I didn't like Smile at all. I was like,
I
yeah,
didn't
but
like it, yeah. But
yes,
me
I
neither.
enjoyed Smile. I didn't think it was
I didn't
amazing,
like
but I
it.
enjoyed Smile.
Yeah.
Pew pew
Pew,
pew
pew, pew,
pew.
pew, pew, pew.
Yeah,
Just like, okay. Blast in the face. So, on that note, thank you for watching another episode of Not a Strong Start. Please like, subscribe, comment, share on the YouTube channel, Not a Strong Start. You can listen to us anywhere you listen to your podcast. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Not a Strong Start. I'm your host. Knock, knock, you're dead. You can follow me at King underscore Sangre.
And regardless of what Dan says, that's a strong start. And you can find me at This Is Me Nombre on Instagram.
Yeah, you can.
And I'm begin with a pew. And you can find me at Marie Plays It All on Instagram.
Skinemax.